Hare Krishna. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all the senior devotees present here before we begin our lecture series, which is entitled A Hill That Thrills, on the upcoming occasion of Sri Govardhan Puja and Annakoot. So we have chosen this particular verse from the 10th canto, chapter 21, wherein Govardhan is described to be as Haridasa Varya, the best amongst all Haridasas, the best amongst all devotees of Lord Hari, of Lord Krishna. So on Sunday, in the morning part 2 and in the evening part 3, we will actually be covering all the wonderful lessons from the entire story of Govardhan. This morning we shall give a prelude to the story of Govardhan Leela, which appears in the chapter before Krishna lifts the Govardhan hill. And the chapter is entitled The Wives of the Brahmanas Blessed, the Brahman Patnis Blessed by Lord Krishna. It's very important to understand the prelude, without which we will not be able to understand how Krishna is dealing with different devotees in different ways. So this morning we will discuss this particular pastime and the lessons from this particular pastime and connect to why Krishna performed the Govardhan Leela. And on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, discuss the Govardhan Leela. So, the pastime begins with Lord Krishna being in the forest with his cowherd boyfriends. And Lord Krishna tells the cowherd boyfriends that he's extremely hungry. He and Balaram are very hungry. And therefore, they should go close by to the village where the Brahmanas are performing yajna, their fire sacrifices. And they should go and ask these Brahmanas for food in order that Krishna and Balaram can have their food. And therefore, the Acharyas here have explained that Lord Krishna and Balaram were not hungry. Lord Krishna and Balaram do not need that food. But Lord Krishna and Balaram had understood very well that the cowherd friends were very hungry. Since the cowherd boys were very hungry, they would not go and personally ask for food. So Lord Krishna knew that only when they say to the cowherd boyfriends, the cowherd boys, that we are hungry, would they go and ask for food. And therefore Krishna and Balaram told the cowherd boys that we are very hungry, you go and ask for some food for us. Therefore the first lesson herein is that when Lord Krishna demands something, Lord Krishna does not demand for himself. Lord Krishna demands for the benefits of his devotees only. Why? Because he does not need anything for himself. In the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Naivatmana prabhurayam nija labha purna. This word is very important. Nija labha purna. Lord Krishna is purna, complete, and therefore there is no labh. Labh means profit. Labh means gain. There is no labh, no profit, no gain that he wants for himself. Yet he demands. Yet he asks. Just like Lord Krishna is asking the cowherd boys, you go and ask for food from these brahmanas, although he doesn't want that food. He doesn't want that food because he is nija labha purna. Complete in himself. He does not need anything. He doesn't feel hungry. He doesn't feel thirsty. All he asks for is to see that his devotees are benefited. He wanted that the cowherd boys be fed well. He wanted that the cowherd boys, their hunger be mitigated, and to benefit them, he demanded, you go and ask from the Brahmanas in the village for some food. And therefore Prahlad says, Krishna doesn't want anything. He asks for these things so that his devotees are benefited. Apparently it seems that Lord Krishna is very demanding. So many verses in the Gita where it seems that Krishna is so demanding. Man mana bhava, mad bhakto, madhyaji, mam namaskuru. What is he saying? You offer your mind to me. You become my devotee. You offer your homages unto me. You know. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yo me bhaktya prayachati. You offer fruits, flowers, water to me. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi yat. Yat karish, yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tatkurushumadarpanam. Whatever you give in charity, whatever you do in your life, whatever you eat, do it unto me as an offering unto me. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Mam ekam. You surrender unto me alone. Looks like an egomaniac God. Isn't it? Just demanding. Me. In modern day psychology and psychiatry, it would be called egomaniacism. You know, just demanding for oneself. But Krishna is demanding for what? So that we get benefit. We offer the fruits to him. We offer the flowers to him. We offer our minds to him. We offer our surrender to him. And we get the benefit. So just like here, Lord Krishna wanted the boys to go and ask for the brahmanas for their own benefit, Lord Krishna demands from us our surrender for our own benefit. And it's a great privilege. It's a great fortune. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji ki jai. Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. It's a great fortune that he asks from us. You know, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to one of his disciples, and His Holiness Devamrit Swami Maharaj always quotes this letter. This devotee had some difficulty and he had written to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada wrote back in return. He said, "I am very forlorn and sad to see that you have given up your service." He said, "In Lord Chaitanya's army, if you do not serve, there will be someone else who will serve. But you have been given the special privilege and the fortune of offering the service. Take that privilege and fortune and serve." And therefore, Krishna doesn't want anything, nor does Srila Prabhupada want anything. If not us, someone else. If not the cowherd boys, Krishna would get someone else to go to the brahmanas. But it is an extreme privilege, extreme honor, and a great good fortune that this opportunity is awarded to us to be able to render this service and benefit ourselves. So the first lesson from this story is Krishna's demanding from us is not for his benefit, is for our benefit, because he is nija labha purna, complete in himself, and he does not need anything else. The second lesson is all of these brahmanas, they were chanting all these mantras and performing all of these fire sacrifices and yajnas, but they had totally forgotten what the purpose of that activity was. And therefore in life, many times we get so busy with the activity, so caught up with the activity itself, that we forget what the purpose behind that activity is. One may get so carried away by the ritual that one may forget the spiritual purpose behind it. And therefore, what makes a ritual spiritual is the spirit behind it. SPI stands for the spirit. So when we add the SPI to the ritual, then that ritual becomes SPI ritual or spiritual. And thus many times, while doing the activity or while performing a certain ritual, one may forget the spirit behind it and it becomes a mere ritual. All the brahmanas in the village, they were performing their yajna and chanting their mantra swaha, swaha. And that mantra swaha and pouring the ghee into the yajna kunda was meant to please Krishna. Everything in life is a yajna, you know. Everything in life is a yajna. A student is performing a yajna by writing his exams for Krishna, you know. The exam paper is there, and then the answer paper is the yajna kunda. The pen with which he is writing the answer is the ladle with which the ghee is poured, and the ink with which the answers are written is the ghee meant to be poured as an oblation onto the answer paper, which the examiner will check and correct, you know. When it is done with the right purpose to please Krishna, then writing an exam in a university is a yajna, right? And then for a grihastha, he also performs yajna, you know. The check in the checkbook, you see, is the yajna kunda. The pen is the ladle. And the amount that he signs for the pleasure of Krishna as a donation is the ahuti, the purnahuti. You see, when that is done with the purpose of trying to please Krishna, even that is a yagya. And therefore human life is meant for yagya, right, for sacrifice. But many times one gets so busy with the activities and the rituals of Krishna consciousness that one may forget the purpose. Prabhupada very often said that his society was International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And therefore, the consciousness that everything is meant as a service to Krishna makes that ritual spiritual. And there is a tendency to forget it, like the Brahmanas had forgotten it. They had forgotten that the purpose of Yajna was to serve Krishna. And therefore in life we know what to do, and many times we do what we know. We know, after hearing so much and reading so much, we know what is right. And we also try to do what is right. But it's not sufficient. Knowledge plus action, when it is coupled with the proper service attitude, that becomes service. Simply knowledge and action is not service. We may know what to do, and we may also do what is right, but that may not always be called service. To know, plus to do, plus to have the right attitude, three things together makes it service. So I know what's the right thing, I do what is the right thing, and I do it in the right attitude, then that becomes devotional service. Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he took shelter of Lord Krishna. Shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. And when he took shelter of Lord Krishna for the first time, Arjuna got knowledge. Based on that knowledge, Arjuna again took shelter of Lord Krishna, karishye vachanam tava. But when he took shelter of Lord Krishna the second time, he got service. Therefore, when one takes shelter first, one gets knowledge. And based on that knowledge, when one takes shelter again, then one gets service. And to get service is most important. First time he took shelter, he got knowledge, he heard the Gita. Second time when he took shelter, now Krishna did not say, okay, I'll give Gita part 2. Gita part 1 is over, now let me give you Gita part 2. No. When he took shelter a second time, he got service. Now fight. Karishye vachanam tava. I take shelter, I'll do what you say. Okay, pick up your bow, pick up your arrow, and fight now. And Arjuna engaged in service. Therefore, with all the knowledge that we have, if it doesn't lead to service, it's useless knowledge, futile knowledge. With all the knowledge that these yagic brahmanas had, they didn't have the service attitude to serve Lord Krishna. What value is that knowledge which does not lead to service, which does not lead to service attitude? Someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, that person, he knows all the 700 verses of the Gita by heart. Srila Prabhupada said, he may know, but can he live by one verse of the Gita for 1 minute? If he can live by one verse of the Gita for a minute, that is success. To know is one thing, to do is another thing, to serve is absolutely another thing. Right? And therefore, once when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was just walking out of Krishna Balaram temple. And you heard the story many times. Vishal Prabhu was his disciple. He loved to chant verses in front of Srila Prabhupada. So he came, and as Prabhupada was walking out with his cane, Vishal Prabhu knelt down on his knees and looked at Srila Prabhupada. And from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he recited the translation of a verse. He said, it is only by the stroke of good luck and providence that we have met the captain of our ship, your divine grace, who shall lead us through ignorance and help us cross the ocean of negligence. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him. And Prabhupada found a puddle close by, a puddle of water. He took this cane and said, is this puddle of water here by the will of providence? He said, now get up and do something. Clean this puddle. And therefore Srila Prabhupada was very, very clear that knowledge must lead to service. Arjuna's knowledge of the Gita that Krishna gave him led to service to fight the battle. Here we find the yagic brahmanas, however, knowing everything, knowing how to do the yagya, knowing all the details of the rituals of the yagya, their knowledge didn't translate into action. with proper attitude, which is to serve. Srila Prabhupada was in Montreal, Canada, and he was living at Prince Arthur Street with Govinda Dasi and Gaur Sundar Prabhu. He hadn't got his visa cleared, and therefore for 3 months they were staying there. And when Srila Prabhupada was living at Prince Arthur Street, it was his Vyas Puja. Govinda Dasi realized that in the temple they'll definitely make arrangements for Vyas Puja, but he thought, I should do something. So she baked the 3-tier cake for Srila Prabhupada. And after baking this amazing cake, she thought, Prabhupada's now 72, I can't put 72 candles. So she put 14 candles on the cake. And after she put 14 candles, she lit all the candles, and the cake had yet to be offered. So she came to Srila Prabhupada's room to offer this cake to the deities. As she brought the flaming cake into the room and put it in front of Srila Prabhupada and chanted the offering prayers, Srila Prabhupada called her. His eyes were wide seeing this big flaming cake. And he asked her, so what is this? And she said, Swamiji, Prabhupada, in America, this is how we celebrate cakes. I mean, this is how we celebrate birthdays, with cakes. And Prabhupada said, very nice, very good. And then after that, she brought the cake. The candles were still, you know, lit up. She brought the cake in front of Srila Prabhupada and kept it in front of Srila Prabhupada. And she said, Prabhupada, now you should blow these candles off. And you should try to blow them off in one go. And while you blow these candles, Srila Prabhupada, you can make a wish. You know. So Prabhupada looked at this cake. It was a very unique thing for him. For the first time in his life, he had something like this to do. You know, in India, for Diwali, you light lamps. You don't blow lamps off. You know. So here was America, you know, where you're supposed to be blowing the lamps off instead of lighting the lamps. So Prabhupada, his eyes turned wide. And he just, in one go, he just blew the candles, and in one go, he blew all of them off. And he looked at Govinda Dasi and he said, I did well, isn't it? You know, I'm an old man, I did well, isn't it? I just blew all of them in one go. And Govinda Dasi said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then Govinda Dasi said, Srila Prabhupada, did you make a wish? And then she said, Prabhupada, you can make your wish and it will be fulfilled, but you don't have to tell anyone the wish. It's secret. And Srila Prabhupada said, there is no secrets. For a devotee, in his wish, there is no secrets. There's only one wish, he said. And my wish is, I simply want service to Lord Sri Krishna. I simply want to serve Krishna. With all the knowledge that he had from his reading of his books. Can you imagine someone who had written all these amazing purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports? He would sit with all of the commentaries of these acharyas. If you read Srila Prabhupada's purports, he writes from the Brihannaradiya Puran and from the, you know, Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Many of these names we can't even pronounce. And with all of this knowledge of the Vedic literatures and the acharyas' commentaries, he had only one wish to make. I simply wish for Krishna's service. And therefore, the second lesson here is that many times carried away by the acts that we do in our Krishna consciousness, we can forget what the purpose behind it is. And the purpose behind it is ultimately to please by serving, you know, by being conscious that we are trying to serve. So this is a formula: knowledge plus action plus the right attitude. That is service. Knowledge plus action is work. Knowledge plus action plus the right attitude and connection to Krishna is devotional service. Therefore, second lesson is forgetfulness of the purpose of what we do. Like the Brahmanas here had forgotten the purpose, that they were doing this to please Krishna. The third lesson is Krishna regularly sends reminders. And therefore, Krishna sending the cowherd boys was to remind and shake the Brahmanas off from their ritualism and bring them to spiritualism. Right. Thus, many times when there is forgetfulness of the purpose, Krishna sends the guru, Krishna sends Vaishnavas, Krishna sends an inspirational purport from the Gita, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna sends a circumstance or a situation to bring us out from that ritualistic activity and to make it a conscious spiritual activity to please Krishna. We know the story of Sugriv. Lord Ram had reinstated Sugriv and had put him on the throne. And Sugriv had promised Lord Ramchandra that after the 4 months of the rainy season, he would go and find Mother Sita. But Sugriv got so caught up with his administrative duties in Kishkindha, and Sugriv got so caught up enjoying the benefits that came by being the king, that he forgot that my duty towards Lord Ram is to find Mother Sita. After the 4 months of the rainy season, when Lord Ram realized that he had forgotten it, Lord Ram sent Lakshman, give a reminder, give a message, you know, you must go and remind him. He is now just, you know, doing his ritual of taking care of the administration of Kishkindha and is busy enjoying. He had one wife, now he has two, you know, he has Ruma and Tara both, and he's got so caught up enjoying, he's forgotten what he's supposed to do. So then Lakshmana came, and when Lakshmana came, he came with great fury. And when he came, just seeing him, Hanuman and others ran and told Sugriva, get up man, what's happening? Lakshman's coming, you're not scared of him? And then he realized Lakshman is greatly furious. And immediately Sugriva came back to his senses. I must go and organize the entire Vanar Sena, the monkey army, to find Mother Sita, do my duty towards Lord Ramchandra. Lakshmana represents the spiritual master. Balaram, Lakshman, Nityananda Prabhu is the Guru Tattva. And therefore, when there is forgetfulness of the purpose of why we do what we do, then Guru, his representatives, his words, all of these come to shake us from that slumber, to remind us the purpose of why we do what we do. And therefore, we find, even here, Lord Krishna and Balaram sending the cowherd boys to the forest, to the village where the Brahmanas were performing the yajna, to remind them, to give them a reminder. Srila Prabhupada was once talking to a devotee, and he was telling the devotees that when I was in the spiritual world in Golok Vrindavan, Lord Krishna, he said, you go to the material world. All these people have forgotten everything. They've forgotten my connection. You go to the material world and write these books. And Srila Prabhupada said, I told Lord Krishna, I don't want to go. I don't want to go because this material world, horrible place, you know, and especially in Kali Yuga, it's even worse. I do not want to go. And then Prabhupada said, Lord Krishna told me, no, you must go. You should go. Prabhupada said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'll forget you. Prabhupada saying this. You know, I'm afraid that I'll forget you. How the world is. You know. So, no, don't worry. You go. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you from everything. You just go. And you write these purports. Because these words will be reminders for people of this world. Right? How they should connect back to me. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, I came and I wrote these purports. These purports were Krishna's words. Krishna dictated these purports. When His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he was to go through a surgery for the stomach in Bombay. He was at Hare Krishna Land Juhu. Srila Prabhupada was away. And when Prabhupada arrived at the airport, he had come to know he was going for a surgery. Srila Prabhupada said, what happened to Tamal? Did his surgery take place? He said, no, Prabhupada, it's today. It's at Jaslok Hospital. Jaslok Hospital is very close to Chopati Temple, just about 5-8 minutes away. And Srila Prabhupada said, surgery? No, we shouldn't have this surgery. It's too much. You know, this is one. Prabhupada chanted 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, and he chanted many more rounds that don't take me to the hospital. You know, many times Srila Prabhupada was saying, don't take me to the hospital. Again and again he would say, don't put these tubes in my body. Of course, when necessary, we have to. So Srila Prabhupada rushed straight from the airport in a car to Jaslok Hospital to see that the surgery does not happen. And when Srila Prabhupada arrived at Jaslok, he realized that, the surgery had already taken place. Of course, for His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Jaslok transformed into Golok Vrindavan. You know, it was no longer Jaslok, it was Golok, because the Guru had all the way come just to see that the surgery doesn't happen. And then when His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj came back to consciousness, Srila Prabhupada was there, right there next to him. Amazing interaction with his disciple. And His Holiness Tamalkrishna Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, when I was unconscious, I had a dream." So what was your dream? He said, "Prabhupada, I saw at beginning from Krishna, the entire parampara is sitting in a row. You know, Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, all the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, till Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are sitting in a row. And Srila Prabhupada, you are sitting there in front of all of them and you are giving a report of the material world in Kali Yuga to them." And Prabhupada said, "So what report was I giving?" And His Holiness Tamalkrishna Maharaj said, "Srila Prabhupada, you were saying that this Kali Yuga people, they are gone cases. They are hopeless gone cases. They have no hope." And then he said, "Prabhupada, in your dream you were saying the only hope for all of them is me, their connection with me. Because they love me, because they're connected to me, that is their hope, because of which they'll finally be connected to you, my dear Lord, through the parampara." And then Srila Prabhupada looked at His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj and he said, "Yes, that is true." Right? He said, "That is true. There is no other hope but connection to Srila Prabhupada. And through that connection, right, getting connection to the entire parampara and to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, just like Lord Krishna sent the cowherd boys to the village to give a reminder to the Brahmanas who had forgotten what the purpose was, just like Lord Ram sent Lakshman to give a reminder to Sugriva about what the purpose was, service to Lord Ram, similarly Lord Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada to this world to give us constant reminders about what the purpose of our life is. In India, before Srila Prabhupada came, things were so ritualistic. They still are many times, so ritualistic. We do what we do, but we never know what to, why we do and what the purpose behind it is. Srila Prabhupada came and changed the dimension. Absolutely changed the dimension. All of us there back in India and here, even now in the West, knew why we are doing what we are doing. Knew that it wasn't simply a ritual, but he added the spirit behind the ritual and made it a spiritual act, you see. And therefore, when we hear from devotees what Srila Prabhupada taught, it's a reminder. The Srimad Bhagavatam class, the Gita class that Srila Prabhupada incorporated in ISKCON is a reminder. Constantly again and again to give us a reminder of how our activities can be spiritualized. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books is a reminder because in those purports, again and again, Srila Prabhupada reminds us how we shouldn't forget to be Krishna conscious, how we shouldn't forget to render devotional service and not just do work and simply act. And remaining in the association of devotees is a reminder because seeing the example of a fantastic devotee reminds us, yes, I need to do it this way. Seeing the example of a fantastic Vaishnava of how he renders devotional service is a wonderful reminder, you know, to practice Krishna consciousness the way it should be done. And therefore, the cowherd boys went there and asked the Brahmanas, "Oh Lord Krishna and Balaram are in the forest and they're very hungry. You kindly give us food." And there was a lot of food to be offered in sacrifice in Yajna. Yajna means a lot of food is there to be offered as Purnahuti. Purnahuti is the last oblation. They plainly denied it. They just denied. And therefore they had knowledge, but the purpose of that knowledge to serve Krishna wasn't accomplished. The cowherd boys came disheartened back to Lord Krishna. When they came back to Lord Krishna consoled them. He said to them, "My dear friends, you must understand that when you go for begging, sometimes you will get and sometimes you will not. You know, sometimes you will be accepted and sometimes you will be rejected. That's a part of the game, my dear friends. And therefore, do not worry." And therefore the fourth lesson is when we go out for preaching Krishna consciousness, we should know that sometimes we will be accepted and sometimes we will be rejected. We should know that when we go out distributing books, it's like going out on behalf of Krishna to the Brahmanas. You know, the cowherd boys were sent to the Brahmanas. Give us some food. So on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, the book distributors of the Hare Krishna movement and the preachers of the Hare Krishna movement are going out and saying, "You please give us something. Please take Krishna." And Krishna said, We should know. We will be rejected sometimes. We will be accepted sometimes. And it's all a part of the game. What is important is not the scores. What is important if Guru and Krishna is pleased? The goal of our activities is not the result. The goal of our activities is to please Guru and Krishna. Or someone may distribute one book, but if that one book pleases Guru and Krishna, he's successful. You know? And therefore, scores are good. They are important. But the attitude to please is more important than just the result. We see Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I mean, what was his score? 18 Aukshahini. Many Mahabig books, you know, slotted. Not just Mahabig books, they had better than that. They had Atibig books also, Atirathi warriors. Where there was the Atirathi warriors finished. Score accomplished. Mahabig books finished. Then there were also the big books, you know, the Rathi warriors. And then there were also the small books, the Ardharathi warriors. So you can see Arjuna's score sheet. Amazing score sheet, you know. Atibig, Mahabig, big, small. 18 Aukshahini division soldiers killed. And Jatayu, in his service to Lord Ram, not even one Mahabig book. He tried to get this Mahabig book, Ravana. But he couldn't finish Ravana. But both Arjun and Jatayu were successful. Why? Because Arjun pleased Krishna and Jatayu pleased the Supreme Lord. Success is not just numbers. Success is trying to see that Guru and Krishna are pleased. And therefore we see here Lord Krishna himself telling the cowherd boys, do not worry. When you go out there, sometimes you will be accepted, sometimes you will be rejected, but you have done it for my pleasure, so do not worry. Like yesterday, our Sutapa Prabhu went for book distribution and he took one of our devotees who came from Bombay, Sandeep Pandit Prabhu, for book distribution. And he was telling me, my God, what are these gentlemen doing here? What a difficult situation to go out and give books to these English people, to all of these people on the streets. It's not easy to break the ice. In India, it's still okay. And then I was telling him that, you know, one book distributed here to someone who's British is like 100 books distributed there back in India. You know, to someone who already knows the background of the Gita and the Vedic culture. And it's so difficult so many times to break the ice and give out these books. Like a Brajbihari Prabhu back in Bombay, when he distributes books, he came up with a good strategy. And the strategy was, he said, what he would do is, he would give the book in the hand of some person whom he would meet and hold the book half in his hand. You know, he wouldn't give the book fully. He would give the book and hold the book half in his hand. And as the guy was trying to get the book, he would try to pull it back. He would try to pull it. And I asked him, why are you doing this? He said, very simple. Everyone wants to feel that I am in control and it belongs to me. You know. So when I give it in his hand and try to pull it back, he says, hey, come on, now it's in my hand. How are you trying to pull it back? You know, so he would take this book, hold it, and then he would say, no, give it to me. And then he would see and look into this book. And he said, I would always make a set of 5 books. And I would try to give these 5 books. And I said, one thing I always did was, never forgot to pray to the Paramatma in the heart. Like Asutapa Prabhu, last time I remember, he was giving a class and he was talking about how the Paramatma in both hearts makes a connection. And, you know, the book is given out. And therefore, preaching, a definition of preaching is, we cannot preach. Our preaching is, we simply should not stand in between Krishna and the person whom we are dealing with. That's it. Right. Preaching means not to stand in between Krishna and the person whom we are dealing with. And then, whatever comes as a result is not so important because we have tried our level best. What pleases Krishna is the effort. Arjun and Jatayu is a classic example. And here, the cowherd boys are a classic example. They had gone on a preaching engagement. Krishna had sent them on a preaching engagement. Go and get food. Failure. Apparently a failure. Spiritually a massive success. Because Krishna was pleased. You know. And therefore this understanding in Krishna consciousness is very important. Otherwise the apparent failures can turn us off in Krishna consciousness. The goal is ultimately to please. When they came back and Krishna realized they had got nothing, Krishna said to them, now you go to the Brahman Patnis. Go to the wives of the Brahmanas. From there you will get something. And therefore, the next lesson here is that when a certain preaching strategy doesn't work, now we have to change our preaching strategy. You know, many times we feel that some person is not receptive. Fine, if they are not receptive, simply going and losing our time on people who are not receptive and who do not want to change is sheer wastage of time in one sense. It's not wastage of time because some credit they'll get, but someone else would have got much better. You know, someone else would have taken to Krishna consciousness much better. And therefore Krishna realized, change your preaching strategy. You know, the Brahmanas have not taken it seriously. They do not want to give you anything. No problem. Change your route. This street, the book distribution, trying for so many weeks didn't happen. Well, let me change my street. Well, in such and such university, I've been preaching for so long and no one's getting interested in Krishna consciousness. No problem. Let me see where there is interest. And therefore, rather than always trying to create interest, it is important to cater to those who are already interested as well. And therefore, Krishna knew. There's no point creating interest in this Brahmanas. They don't know the purpose. The wives are already interested. So he said, now you go and you try to get the Brahmana Patnis to give this food for us. So now the cowherd boys went there. Why? Because the preaching ground was ready. There was strong receptivity there. They had great amount of receptivity to receive the cowherd boyfriends. And how did they get that receptivity? That's the next lesson. That receptivity they got by hearing. Dirgha Shruta Dhrita Shaya. They had heard. All the Brajabasis would come to the village selling some fruits, some vegetables, some small trinkets, and they would tell them, talk about Krishna. Today, Krishna killed Putana. Today, Krishna killed Trinavarta. They were talking about the activities of Lord Krishna. And because they had heard about the activities of Lord Krishna, they had developed an attraction for Lord Krishna. Back in India, in Maharashtra, there is a place called Kolhapur. I don't know how many of you heard about it. It's a place where Mahalakshmi's temple is. Tirupati's consort, Balaji's consort. And from Kolhapur, we got a devotee to come and join our Brahmachari ashram. This Brahmachari came to Bombay and his only goal in his life was to meet Michael Jackson. Back out there in Kolhapur, which is a place where I don't know how he heard about Michael Jackson there. It's a remote area. But there he had heard constantly from his friends about Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson. He's a great singer. He's great this. He's great this. Dirgha Shruta Dhritashaya. For a long time he had done Shravanam. And because he had done Shravanam, he also got a tape and he heard his songs. And because of that Shravanam, there was attraction. So hearing leads to attraction. He left that place, bringing all his belongings. And he said, if I can go and simply see Michael Jackson once, he said, I do not mind even polishing the shoes of Michael Jackson. So hearing leads to attraction about a personality, and attraction about that personality leads to humble service attitude where one is even willing to go and polish the shoes of such a great person, apparently, who has these opulences. So this cowherd, this Brahman Patnis, they had heard about Lord Krishna for a long time and that hearing had led to attraction. As soon as the cowherd boy said, Krishna wants food, receptivity was already there, interest was already there. Strike the iron when it is hot. You know, they were the best preaching candidates. They picked up all of their food and left. Because of hearing, there was attraction. Because of attraction towards Krishna, there was service attitude. We want to serve him. And therefore, regular Shravanam and hearing is very, very important and crucial, because that hearing will lead to attraction to that personality. The 10, 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to create that attraction in the hearts for Lord Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj is a means to bring that attraction for the Supreme Lord. And only when there is attraction can there be service. Otherwise it's sadhana. It's mechanical service. Definitely it's sadhana. But only when there is attraction can there be heartfelt service. The followers of Srila Prabhupada and disciples of Srila Prabhupada rendered heartfelt service to Srila Prabhupada because they were attracted to him. They loved him. You know. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada himself, in 1922, he met his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he heard from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In fact, much later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, I have noted that Abhay likes to hear. And he heard from him few times, but fully surrendered to the words. And then in 1933, he got initiated. 1944, he started the Back to Godhead magazine. 1955, he started the League of Devotees in Jhansi, which failed apparently. 1966, he incorporated the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And 1977, he departed from this world. All in multiples of 11. 22 he met, 33 he got initiated, 44 he started the Back to Godhead magazine, 55 he incorporated League of Devotees, 66 he incorporated ISKCON, 77 he left this world. And what a tremendous amount of service he had done. Because he heard from his spiritual master that hearing transformed into attraction and that attraction transformed into service. Thus, the cowherd, the Brahmin Patnis, they brought all the food to Lord Krishna. They came to Lord Krishna like arrows leaving a bow, never to return back. Like words coming out of the mouth, never to be retrieved again. Or like the rivers gushing towards the ocean, all unidirectional, never to come back again. And when they came to Lord Krishna, what was their prayer? Their prayer was, "My dear Lord," he said, "now you go back home. You've come, brought all the food, you go back home." He said, "who will accept us? Our husbands will not accept us." He said, "you do not worry. I'll do the change from within the heart. I'm Paramatma. I'll take care of it." They said, "we have only one desire." They did not want to come in the intimate circle of the gopis. Krishna had his intimate circle of the gopis. And His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj in this verse gives a brilliant purport based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries. And he explains, they did not want to be Krishna's intimate friends. They simply wanted to be the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna's intimate friends. And they said, "my dear Lord, when you take out the tulsi garland from your neck and throw it down and sometimes you trample upon it while you're walking, you just give us that tulsi garland which is trampled upon by your lotus feet and we shall put that tulsi garland on our heads. And that will be the perfection of our lives." And therefore Krishna, and then Krishna's devotee Tulsi, and ourselves the servant of Tulsi, right, the cowherd lady said. And thus, if we hear, hearing leads to attraction, attraction leads to service, and service in the proper attitude leads to humility, where one never craves and hankers for position, but one only craves to be Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanu Dasaha. After hearing an attraction and service, proper service leads to the proper attitude and consciousness of humility, where one never wants to be seen as big, but wants to simply seen. Be seen as a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord and His devotees. And then finally, just to conclude the whole story and give the conclude the prelude for the series, The Hill That Thrills, is the Brahmanas, when the ladies come back, they're very repentant. "Oh, to hell with our knowledge, to hell with our expertise, to hell with our skills." This is a verse in the Bhagavatam. "To hell with all what we have done in our lives, because we forgot that the purpose of us all is to serve Krishna. And our wives, who didn't have the knowledge, who didn't have the expertise, who didn't know the mantras, the tantras, the yantras, the mudras, the pujas, they don't know any of these things. But they knew one thing, to serve Krishna. They are way better than all of us." And they started repenting. They begged forgiveness from their wives. They begged forgiveness in their hearts from Lord Krishna. But there's a very powerful statement I read. You know, repentance is only passive rectification. Rectification is active repentance. You know, repentance in our hearts is only passive rectification. Little bit change in our heart. We don't really do much in terms of changing. But rectification and actually trying to mend our ways is active repentance. We are actively trying to repent. You know, and therefore this Brahmanas, they were repenting. It was simply a feeling, no action. And again, out of fear of Kamsa, they didn't surrender to Krishna. Whereas the cowherd, the Brahmin Patnis, they'd given everything to the Supreme Lord with no fear in their hearts, what would Kamsa do to us? And thus, the lesson here is very powerful, that repentance for any wrong is only of any value if it translates into proper action by taking shelter of Krishna and doing the right thing. Otherwise, it merely remains an emotion, a sentiment, a feeling in the heart. Finally, Lord Krishna, the whole reason why he did this, because he had sensed in the heart of the Brahmanas false pride, the Acharyas explain, because of their learning, because of their expertise. And the chapter before this, Lord Krishna glorifies the trees of Vrindavan. He talks about the trees of the Vrindavan, how they serve devotees, how they give to others, how they give in charity, their leaves, their fruits, their shade, their wood, how their life is meant for serving others. Etavat janma safalyam. Janma safalya. Safalata, perfection of life is what? Pranair, arthair, dhyair, vacha, with one's life, prana. Arthair, with one's finances. Dhiya, with one's intelligence. Vacha, with one's words. One serves Lord Krishna and the devotees of Lord Krishna and the humanity at large. And here Krishna says to his boyfriends, here are the trees of Vrindavan who are offering such wonderful service. Contrast them with these Brahmanas. Here are the trees who have no knowledge of the Vedas. Here are the Brahmanas who know the Vedas. Here are the trees in a lower species. Here are the Brahmanas in an evolved species. Here are the trees, you know, who are immobile. Here are the Brahmanas who are mobile. Here are the trees who have no idea how to do yajnas. Here are the Brahmanas who are expert at the performing of yajnas. Here are the trees who can't say a word, what to speak of reciting mantras. Here are the Brahmanas who can recite mantras. But better than these Brahmanas are the trees of Vrindavan, because they know how to serve and are not proud. So in Lord Krishna sensed pride in the Bhudevas. The Bhudevas are the Brahmanas. And Lord Krishna sensed pride in the Naradeva, Indra. Right. So when he sensed pride, this is just three chapters, one after another. Right. So Krishna used the trees to humble the Bhudevas, the Brahmanas. And Krishna used a mountain to humble the Naradeva, Indra. Right. Apparently a mountain, stone, apparently a tree. So Krishna is saying, better to be a tree who serves than a Brahman who is proud of his opulence, of knowledge. And in the next chapter we shall see, Krishna will say, better to be a mountain, Govardhan, who serves than to be a king of all demigods, Indra, who is proud of his opulence. And that is the prelude to the chapter of Govardhan Leela. How he quells the pride of the Bhudevas, the Brahmanas, and how he quells the pride of Naradevas, King Indra. And we shall continue with this discussion on Sunday morning and Sunday evening in our lecture series, which is entitled A Hill That Thrills. Shri, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.